You can't start the car. Johnny has the keys.
Hello, hello, hello out there in podcast and YouTube land. You have reached Johnny Has the Keys, where we talk about horror movies and science fiction films and those key elements that lift them above the average genre fare. Are you new to us? Then welcome aboard. Welcome to our strange, obsessed, nerdy, and soon-to-be trademarked brand Ooh. Of criticism. Hmm. And if you're returning, well, we'd like to welcome you back because you know I'm full of shit. I am here today with my good friend, Mr. David Horton. He is my co-host. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. It's been a crazy week, hectic, crazy. We're doing a bunch of stuff for our, you know, our Patreon people and for our other stuff. So it's been crazy trying to balance all that and do some edits and some stuff. And you're doing all the video edits and all that. So it's been crazy, I know, for both of us. But what I wanted to share for my genre week topic, which is how we normally start.
Oh, yeah.
I got stuck. Let me tell you this. So I had to take a trip recently, and I'm on the flight. And normally in my prep for a flight is, you know, of course, I get the iPad out. I download, you know, three or four episodes of something, whatever we're covering coming up that I need to make sure I watch, because I've got, you know, several hours in a tube so I can focus on, you know, whatever I'm watching there. So I download, I get everything ready. I pack my bags. I had to leave for the airport like 3 a.m. I get there. I'm in the, you know, waiting at the gate, because I thought, okay, I'll fire up this movie. I got it ready. It's going to be great. Blah, blah, blah. Open up my iPad. Didn't download. It says, you know, it has that little icon beside it. If you ever download anything from Netflix, it has that little icon that says still downloading. Right. And I'm like, my son, what? I got 3 hours on this plane and I got nothing to watch, you know, because they'll have crap on the plane. They won't have anything I really want to see, probably, or something I've already seen. So I ended up on this flight having to go, well, what do I have in my iPad? What if I download it and not delete it and still have? And it was the first
Planet three of the Apes.
No, it was the first three episodes of Westworld, the series that I love. So I thought, okay, well, doesn't suck. Second best series ever made for television. I can watch the first three episodes again. So I ended up on this flight watching them again. My dozenth time of watching Westworld season one. So yeah, it was good. That's all I did. I didn't do anything new, anything interesting. It was just revisiting an old friend sort of.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we're revisiting Star Trek and the X-Files as well. So
yeah, well, true. So that was it. It was a lot of fun seeing, you know, Anthony Hopkins again be brilliant and wonderful and all that, and the way, and then to think about how that series has just gone so far down in the past, you know, seasons. So yeah, there was that. What about you? You been doing anything?
Well, actually I have. We talked earlier about how we try to find these coming to get you movies that are in the near future, you know, to let people know about what's coming out, what's caught our eye. And this one caught my eye, but it was too close for us to actually do an episode of, because it was dropping really soon. And I happened to catch it last night. And it is an Australian film called Sissy.
Sissy. Okay.
Yeah. And I immediately went, you know, being a gay man, went to the whole, is this like a derogatory term
for
someone that's effeminate? Because that's what I figured it was. And it is a very like queer woke film. There's like a lesbian couple and some, I guess, sexually fluent people in the cast. So there is that. But really, Sissy just is short for Cecilia in this movie. The main character's name is Cecilia. It was directed by Hannah Barlow, who also plays the, I guess, the second lead in the movie. Mm-hmm. So it was directed by a female. It was also directed by a male guy that's not in the movie named Kane Sinnes. I've been coming across a lot of these that are directed by multiple directors, and I don't know what that's all about. But yeah. I have a feeling it may be they're just passing the camera. I don't know. This movie is great. I was blown away by the visuals and by the storytelling. Okay. Let me give you a quick synopsis.
Sure.
It's as I said, it was on Shudder, or if I didn't say, this is streaming on Shudder. Cecilia, aka Sissy, is a successful social media influencer living the dream until she runs into her ex-childhood best friend and is invited away on her bachelorette weekend. Suddenly, Sissy finds herself stuck in a remote cabin with her high school, or not high school, with her childhood bully and a taste for revenge. This movie.
It's happy birthday to me.
No, it reminded me of three directors. You're going to laugh when I say who they are.
Okay.
It reminded me of Jordan Peele. It reminded me of Alfred Hitchcock. And it reminded me of Dario Argento.
Wow. I would not. Okay.
It's beautifully shot and it plays like a straightforward movie to begin with, which is the whole Jordan Peele thing. It does not feel like a horror movie at all.
Right. Okay.
And then there are twists and twists like Hitchcock. I mean, all of a sudden you think you know where it's going and it goes somewhere else and you're like, wow. And then the color palette is just bright and beautiful like a Dario Argento movie.
Excellent.
So okay. Highly recommended. It stars Aisha Dee, who I did recognize because she was in the Channel Zero season called No End House.
Okay.
And she was great in that. It also stars Hannah Barlow, as I mentioned, and someone named Emily Margaretti. These are all Australian people, so that we don't see them that often. They're in Australian films. Mm-hmm. However, out of 60 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, it got 97%. So.
And that's good, right?
It's very good. And it's certified fresh. And I think fresh is a good word for it because I have never seen a movie like this. It's very modern. You know, it's got young people, young pretty people in it. It's got a very gender fluid cast and it's about things like being a social media influencer and then tying in horror too. It's just really good. It's really, really good.
Really so. Timely sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting.
So that's what was my genre week topic. So,
wow.
I don't know how we're going to relate that to what we're watching, except there is a young star in this movie as well.
Yeah, this is a pseudo YA movie today, sort of, I think. You know, I think you could classify that. That's one of my keys, definitely, is it's YA entertainment, sort of. But we are in sci-fi world, which is awesome because we've been kind of horrific at different times in the past, you know, few weeks and back and forth. This one, we are covering a little film. I always say little film, and it's not really a little film. This is a pretty expansive film.
It's a pretty big film.
It came out in 2019. It's called Alita Battle Angel. It is an adaptation of a manga by Yukito Koshiru, and its title was Battle Angel Alita. So they just kind of reversed it. The screenplay itself was written by, you know, yours and my favorite, Mr. James Cameron, and Lita Kalagridis, I think is her name. May I mispronounce that? I'm sorry.
I don't dislike Mr. Cameron as much as you do.
No, you do not. I mean, you support him much better. It's directed, however, you know, the highlight of it. It's also produced by James Cameron, by the way. But the highlight of it to me is the casting and the director, Robert Rodriguez, who I always kind of like and don't. He's really good at kid stuff, but he's also really good at CGI worlds. You know, he's really good at like Sin City and Spy Kids and all of that kind of stuff, creating this world building, which I think is really good in this. Stars Rosa Salazar, Christoph Waltz, Jennifer Connelly, Marshala Ali. And I guess probably a good little synopsis of it. It takes place in, I think, 2563, I think was the thing, 25 something, after the a great war has taken place. And basically, there's only one Earth city left. One's in the sky above and one's down on the ground. The one on the ground is Iron City. And we are scavenging through the garbage of the upper city above, the floating city above them. And we find this Dr. Ito, and he is looking for spare parts and ends up finding
Wally.
finds part of a cyborg. The head and the heart, and the brain is intact and the heart is intact. And so he reassembles it. She becomes, he names her Alita after his own daughter who died in a horrible criminal act years ago. And basically we follow Alita's development from a teenage girl who really doesn't have any memory of her past and who she is or where she came from, as she slowly acclimates to this world and learns the good guys from the bad guys and learns about her past, which ends up greatly affecting what she does. Lots of stuff. Had you seen this movie before?
I have not. I had not even heard of this movie.
Okay. So I'm really curious to get your initial take on it.
I really want to like this movie because I love Robert Rodriguez. I think that I love what he did with Planet Terror, that horror movie from Grindhouse.
Yep.
And I love his, if you go back to El Mariachi.
Mm-hmm.
But
from Dusk Till Dawn?
Dusk Till Dawn. Dusk Till Dawn's okay. It's a little out there.
Yeah.
however, I would classify this movie in the same category as like AI and Ready Player One. I just feel like there is a little too much going on in this movie.
Well, okay. In what way? I mean, I'll let you explain more. And then
the thing that sticks out to me the most is the whole Motorball thing. I was going to ask you if you're familiar with the comics and if Motorball is a part of the comics, because it almost feels like they put it in the movie to give it something extra. To me,
I have not read the mangas, but I did in doing research for this read that several people who like the manga say this is a very faithful adaptation.
Oh, okay. However,
it tries to cram too much into a 2-hour movie.
Okay, I'm not wrong.
and really, I agree with you for that fact. I do think that there's a lot going on, and they could have easily, this could have probably serviced much better. But it probably would have been too expensive just because of the CGI. But it probably could have serviced much better as like a Netflix series or a Hulu series.
I totally agreed. If they had expanded this into like 10 episodes, I think it would have been better than just a 2-hour movie.
Yeah. And they could have, explored more. The deficits that I read online, because, again, I hadn't read the source material, were that the manga spends a lot of its first 2 volumes just on her personal search and trying to remember stuff and trying to get used to this world and struggling.
What I want.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for the small story and they're giving me a big story.
And then she slowly, but I'm pretty sure because they said it was faithful. I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure Motorball is in the mangas.
I figured it maybe have to be.
But also the mangas, of course, go further. And that's another problem with this particular film is it just abruptly ends. It just like goes like it's saying, OK, it's sequel time. Give us the money. We'll tell you the rest of the story, because there's never a battle with Nova, the big, huge bad guy. Mm-hmm. And there's not a closure to it sort of thing, other than she did kind of fight the system a little bit. But then the last scene is her being a part of the system. She's a Motorball champion,
I know. And to me, the last 15 minutes of this movie move really fast.
Yes. Way too fast.
I was like, she saves the boyfriend, then he dies. I was right. Like, what? That was really fast.
Yep.
So
I thought a lot of that. And the last third of this movie is just really kind of clunky. It's kind of like, we got to end it right now. Kind of thing. And I agree with you that there is a lot. However, the lot that is in this, I really, really dig. I love the aesthetic of this movie. I really like the way it flows from her point of view. There are times in this when it's totally seamless to me. I'm going, wait, that's got to be CGI, but it looks freaking real. But there are just times when I think the CGI is just brilliant in this. Even down to her eyes and her, you know, I love the fact that they take the manga, the anime, not manga, manga is just the book version of anime, but the anime approach of the big eyes, but they don't go as far as the silly freaking hair. Because, you know, people who've listened to us know that I've occasionally mentioned I'm not an anime fan at all. I don't really like anime. I don't know
enough about it to even make an opinion, really.
Well, what I don't like about it is any kind of animated anime, because do you remember when the animated Star Trek came out by Filmation or whoever it was, the Japanese
the original company? Like 70s?
Yeah. Yeah. Star Trek, the animated series was what it was called. And they only had like 10 episodes, and actually they're really good scripts. They're just, you know, a half hour and more kiddie oriented kind of thing. But the animation,
they look like Super Friends or any of that animation at the time. Yeah. That
same kind of, you know, when we run like this kind of thing.
And the background moves behind them.
Right. Right. Anime like Dragon Ball Z and Inuyasha and all of these anime cartoons are like that, the same way, you know, that intense close up of one eye going, you know, and it's just, I'm not a fan. I'm glad that he didn't do that aesthetic for this. This is, you know, this, it's given away a key, but this could readily, easily live in Ready Player One land.
I was going to say, it reminds me so much of that movie. You know, I actually enjoyed it more, though, than I did Ready Player One, for sure.
I agree with you. I agree. I had the same thing in my notes. I said, this is better than Ready Player One. It really is.
It is.
Mm-hmm. But part of it is because of her performance and Christoph Waltz, who I think both are really, really good. But I had the criticism again from a dramaturge kind of view is, you know, they build up this whole kind of surrogate father daughter sort of thing. And then it just kind of goes nowhere. She turns into Rebel Angel and I'm going to go and do my own thing, daddy kind of thing. And so dad has to save your life again or save your, you know, build you a new body. And then, okay, thanks. And I'm going to go do my thing and not really, you know, worry about you anymore. And I thought there needed to be more of that in it. And there wasn't, you know? Yeah.
No, there's not enough relationship building between any of these characters. I don't think.
Well, what were some of the things you like scenes or things in general?
Well, before we move to scenes, I did want to say that I kind of just stumbled upon maybe one of the reasons I dislike it. And it's in the origins. James Cameron, you know, had been developing this for a very long time. But he was so busy with Avatar, he couldn't ever get to it. So it basically languished for a long time in Hollywood as an unfinished project. And then Robert Rodriguez, I guess, was a fan of the comics or something and said, look, I want to do this. And he took Cameron's script and whittled it down to a serviceable length without removing anything that Cameron wanted in it. And I think that may be the problem, is that everything he wanted is in it, but it's loosely connected in places and it doesn't make a lot of sense, or it moves too fast. So maybe that's the whole reason why I feel like this, I don't know, it feels rushed or something to me.
Well, yeah, it does. It does feel like they've crammed a lot into, you know, I could have easily, when did this come out? 19, I think. I could have easily seen this being 2.5 hours if they wanted to pad it. I mean, I didn't mind it. I don't remember, but it seems like Ready Player One was pretty freaking long.
It is, but it's also because of certain events. And like, if they had padded this, I would immediately have said, oh, that a motorball thing shouldn't have been in there. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean.
Well, I guess to the extent of maybe. So just off the top of my head, maybe extend that first part where she is growing as a person and trying to find herself and slowly finds the Martian ship and all of that stuff. And maybe expand a little bit of the backstory of dad and psycho kind of crazy mom who turns good for no reason. And we don't really know why.
But Jennifer Connelly. Yeah. I was like, what is her point?
So let's learn more about her and more about Vector. Mashallah, Ali's character, a little bit more depth of the character, I think, would have worked, like you said, and balanced the, oh, we're going from action scene to action scene to action scene.
Right.
So a little bit less JJ kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got a bunch of, you know, good that I like about it. I obviously like it better than you. I can mm-hmm. deal with some of the stuff. But I think this is the key elements to this to me are it has great world building, I think, all the way through it from the very beginning, the opening shots of the all the garbage heaps and everything else, and then how it slowly develops. I mean, there's I've gotten my notes, man, so many extras. How many extras did they pay for this movie? Because there's so many extras in all these crowds.
They're probably CGI'd.
Well, they might be for all I know, because they look really good.
I thought that opening scene looked exactly like the neighborhood in Ready Player One.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the garbage heap looked like Wally. Mm-hmm. You know, it has that same kind of feel. But I love the design elements. I loved the way her hand is designed, the way her actual body is designed, even to the point of at that one point, they've got her chest open. And if you watch it, I watched it this because this is like the third time I've seen this movie, but her heart is actually beating.
Mm-hmm. She takes it out.
Well, at one point, she does take it out, but it's little heartbeats. I like the tech of it. I like the very William Gibson sort of feel of these people who are, you know, humans would do that. Oh, my arm got cut off. Give me another one. You know, once we get to that technological side, I think this is a very kind of accurate view of where we'll be. We'll mm-hmm. have to have a gladiatorial kind of combat. We'll keep upping the ante on what destruction we can do and what we can do to our bodies. I think that's a very realistic kind of look at the future world sort of thing.
Sorry, I was trying to think of scenes that I like. Because we kind of went away from that.
I love the opening, like you said. I really do like the whole opening with the him finding her and then building mm-hmm. her and her awakening and all of that. I thought that
I like
was really
the
great.
I think it's her first violent encounter, isn't it? In like an alley.
The alley fight. That's my next one. Yeah.
Yeah. I seem to remember liking that a lot because all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, she's coming into knowing how strong she is or how
well.
Good
and it's
she
also
is.
Got that kind of I mean, my key for that was it's that. Hey, kid, be careful what you wish for trope from The Day the Earth Stood Still. You know, I'm going to follow the guy at night and see where he goes. Oh, my God. He woke up the robot and went into the spaceship. You know, and this way I'm going to follow him because I suspect he may be this killer of all these girls. Oh, my God. No, he's the hero. And now I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, I loved the girl, too. That gorgeous face in the hood. And all of a sudden she takes her cloak off and she's just knives. And mm-hmm. like a spider kind of, that was great. That was a good fight. That was a good one.
I like Gruishka, and I think it's funny that he's so enormous, but played by Jack Earl Haley.
And I didn't get that until the second time I saw it, mm-hmm. that was Jack Earl Haley.
The thing is, though, is they keep bringing him back. I'm like, you know, his death doesn't matter, really. They just keep bringing him back.
Yeah. And there's that huge, my huge watch notes, that huge leap of logic when suddenly she goes and says, I want to become a hunter killer. And you go, okay. And then she takes her hunter killer pass and goes to the bar and suddenly says, Mariska, what's his name?
Gruishka.
Gruishka. Gruishka is, has somebody funding him and we don't know who, but now he's coming after me and my dad. And I want you guys to help me. I'm going, we just saw him die. What do you mean? I don't understand, you know,
right.
And how would you know that he's coming to get you? Cause we haven't seen anything that telegraphs that at all. Mm-mm. I mean, we saw that your dad was hunting the girl. So he jumped in and attacked you guys and you cut his arm off and everything up, but I didn't get you're coming after your dad kind of thing. That was a huge leap for me. And that was the first kind of inkling. It was the first crack to me in the story. I went, I don't get that. We cut something somewhere that didn't matter or didn't work, you know? I liked, but I've got that. I've got the alley fight. I've also liked the the discovery of the alien hardware, the ERM, when she goes underwater, instead of swimming over there, she just drops and walks on the bottom and just walks in. And then the whole purple orb and finding the suit of, you know, the other body and all of that.
I feel like there's a lot missing from that story element.
Yes. See, that could have been to me an entire episode.
Right. It's like, wait, what is her relation to all this? You know, they don't really touch on that much.
So evidently in just like two lines of dialogue, the big war took place because Mars, which Earth had colonized, suddenly came back and waged war on Earth. And Heaven. Anyway, I kept calling.
You're talking about the big spaceship, looking thing.
The hovering city.
Yeah.
Is Heaven, but they, you know, and in all the by the way, we're jumping around a lot, but in all the descriptions of this, you see online, it says, you know, the haves live up above in Zaxxum. Wherever they live up above, and the have-nots live down in Iron City with all the criminals and the working class and all that. I didn't see one have. There was not one have in this whole movie other than the bad guy, Nova. You didn't see anybody up there at all, ever.
Oh, no. I mean, you're talking about in the actual city.
Yeah.
No. I was going to say, I would consider Jennifer Connelly and Maisha's character would be, I mean, they Marshalla? Would be the ones that are half. I'm sorry, did I mispronounce that? What is it?
Marshalla Ali.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It is Marshalla Ali, the guy that played Vector. The guy who's going to be playing Blade.
He's going to play Blade.
You know what? He's in everything, and he's great. Yeah. He I just watched him in Luke Cage. He was the bad guy in the first season of Luke Cage, too.
Yes. Man, and, he's good.
He's in Moonlight, which is another great movie. I have mad respect for him.
Mad. He's awesome.
And he's great. As I love when he gets killed at the end and you realize that he is just a vector, even though that's his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a vector for whoever, whatever that character's name is up high.
Yeah. I got the impression, of course, that Shireen, who is the Jennifer Connelly character, she was from that city because she has the diamond. She's the only one with the diamond. Mm-hmm. And later on, the dad says he had his surgically removed because he admits he was from there, too. But we don't get, again, something that's enough not story. Shown. We don't get any of they're the ruling class or the hierarchy or whomever, and they just dump garbage down here on us. And who are they? I don't know who they are or what they, and maybe that's going to be the sequel as we go there or whatever.
It's going to be the new Disney World land.
No, just garbage everywhere. And you can, instead of building your lightsaber, you can pick your own Android parts and just build.
And instead of floating rocks, there's a floating city.
Floating city up above you. Mm-hmm. So I had scenes still, I'm almost, I had underwater, and I did like the first, I wanted to call it rollerball. The first motorball, competition.
The one where she thinks she's just in a practice round and they're out.
Yeah. She thinks she's just in a tryout and instead they've all been hired to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's very Robert Rodriguez, by the way, too. That's kind of like bringing all the gunslingers together against the one El Mariachi kind of guy, you know?
Well, yeah, especially like the fast action intercut with the slow-mo stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He does that all the time. I mean, what Desperado, the remake of... You know what I'm talking about? The one with Antonio Banderas. It's the remake
of I still remember the guitar case machine gun just going... all in slow motion, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like that remake. I love it. I think it's great.
I think it's awesome. And that's
pure Rodriguez. It was probably his first big American film, I think.
Oh, yeah. But again, to your point, I don't like the last third of this movie. I mean, I like it, but I think that it's horribly truncated and thrown together.
I mean, it's got a lot of writers. I mean, we mentioned James Cameron and then we mentioned Robert Rodriguez adapting the script. However, it's based on the novel, the graphic novel by Yukito Kishiro. However, there's another screenwriter in there, somebody named Leita Kalagridis. I don't know if that's a male or female. But they did Shutter Island, Alexander, mm-hmm. and Terminator Genesis. So they brought a big screenwriter, you know, one that does big movies in. Yeah. And it just seems like there's too many hands in the pot or something. I don't know.
I think they're more truncated by time than they are people. You know, I think
maybe
it's much more of a, you've got to, like you said, Rodriguez says, I need to make this manageable. So I'm going to squeeze it into 2 hours. And I'm just going to pick and choose the big scenes, you know? And I think it suffers for that because we don't get the kind of development we got in the first half hour that was so cool. And we don't get the villains developed enough. I mean, they have that, I want to call him Jude Law, but he's not Jude Law, but the, whoever that, that, Supan.
I know exactly who you're talking about. It's
Zappan. Zappan is his name.
His Ed Skrein's the actor. Yeah. Yeah.
And he was very Jude Law-y from AI to me. Mm-hmm. You know, well, the accent doesn't, you know, of course, but just his attitude. And the way he'll break the rules and, you know, pretty boy loves his face, you know, that sort of thing. But I would have liked to have, you could have probably done an entire, if it was a miniseries, you could have done a half an episode on his backstory and how he became a cyborg and everything.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You know, why did he try to squeeze this movie into 2 hours? Why not take it to Netflix? Why not do what Muschietti did with It and make it into two films? Or, you know, I mean, there's so many other ways he could have gone instead of just trying to. I mean, does he only want to be known as a movie director? I don't know. I mean, too many.
It is a good suggestion. That would have been a great way to approach this.
Yeah, like a two-part movie. I mean, it would have been harder to market because it's more well-known than this is. So that's why I'm saying I think Netflix would have been an even better option to do it as a series.
But you could have even done it in a two-part movie, you know, 4 hours and say the first one's Alita and the second one is Alita Battle Angel because that's after she's figured out who she is.
Yeah.
And and takes the fight up there and all of that stuff. That would have been interesting. That's a cool idea. But yeah, I was really curious to see what you felt initially watching this because it is thrown together, in my opinion. It's hard to go, why am I missing something? Did I miss a thing?
My initial thought was this movie reminds me too much of the AI and Ready Player One, which are both Spielberg movies. There's too much going on, and I would much rather be watching The Green Slime.
You know, never occurred to me, hey, that's what this movie is missing, some green slime.
It is. I need some little, you know, one-eyed tentacle monsters, you know, shocking people.
There you go. Anything else, good, bad, indifferent about it before you do? Do any casting?
I mean, I do have a little bit of casting. I do.
Okay.
You know what? I did put in here for some reason that the composer was Junkie XL. Did you like the music?
I did like the music.
All right, because he's done several significant post-apocalyptic dystopian films. Mm-hmm. It's like he is that conductor. And he did one. He did Divergent. He did Fury Road. He did The Dark Tower. And he did Mortal Engines. So he is known for doing dystopic post-apocalyptic soundtracks. I just thought that was interesting.
Well, and Rosa Salazar, you know, comes from YA. She's Maze Runner, Insurgent. I mean, that's what she's done.
I don't know her. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense, though.
She's done a lot of YA series, especially Maze Runner.
I do have a little bit, since we're in casting, I do have a little bit. One of the things is that the film has 3 Academy Award winners in it. It's got Mahershala Ali, it's got Jennifer Connelly, and it's got Christoph Waltz in it. It's got 2 Academy Award nominees in it, in Jackie Earle Haley and Edward Norton, who is at the very, very end of the movie.
Oh, you gave it away. Now they know who Nova is.
Well, and it's uncredited, so it's supposed to be secret. So, ha-ha, spoiler, everybody. And Michelle Rodriguez is also uncredited as Gelda, Alita's fellow warrior in the flashbacks.
Oh, yeah, she was cool. See, another person would be cool to explore.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then it also, before I get into the actual cast, it also stars 2 Bond villains. Rick Yoon, who was in Die Another Day, and Christoph Waltz, who was in Spectre, and No Time to Die.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting as well. Lots of Academy Award people in this movie.
Interesting.
You mentioned Rosa Salazar played the lead, Alita. Four actresses screen tested for this role. I was kind of intrigued by who they were, at least, especially two of them. Two of them I don't even know, and three of them I know, and one of them I don't.
Okay.
Zendaya was someone else, and she's really popular now on that Euphoria show.
Oh, yeah, very.
Rosa, who got the part, also auditioned or screen tested for it. But guess who this next one is?
I don't know. Jennifer Lawrence.
Maika Monroe from It Follows.
It Follows?
Yeah.
Ooh,
I love her.
I do love her. But I also like Rosa Salazar. So I think they did good on this one.
I think they did fine. I just love Maika.
Yeah, I do too.
And she was in that movie Watcher that I watched recently that I just love. And then someone named Bella Thorne. I'm not sure who that is.
Bella Thorne I call her a celebutante, you know, kind of thing. She's one of those that had a hit with something and then
in social media
now is more social media than anything.
Okay.
So yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Christoph Waltz was actually recommended to Rodriguez by Tarantino.
Interesting.
And the reason for that is that Tarantino directed Waltz to two Oscar wins in Inglourious Basterds and Django Unchained. And he's been a longtime friend and collaborator with Robert Rodriguez for a long time. Probably since Grindhouse, probably before Grindhouse.
Oh, yeah. But, I think before Grindhouse.
Yeah.
Because I think Rodriguez was like a second unit guy for Pulp Fiction. Mm-hmm. I seem to remember that. I may be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong out there, people. But I'm pretty sure that's true.
And for folks out there that don't know what Grindhouse is, Grindhouse was a movie that was done as like a double feature drive-in release, but they released it to theaters. The first movie was Robert Rodriguez. The second movie was Quentin Tarantino. The first movie was sci-fi horror. The second movie was more of a thriller. And then they had little vignettes of coming attractions directed by other famous directors. It was a marvelous, marvelous thing. I went and saw it at a theater. And now they've just released the separate movies. I don't even know if you can get the whole package anymore.
I don't know. Because they did it with like, and it even had the drive-in effects to it that were kind of like an old
scratchy
shutter, scratchy looking effect and all that.
Right. Yeah. And I've often wanted to cover one or both of those movies and wondered how we would do it. If we did it, could we just get the original double feature and cover that as a double feature?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
For the podcast.
Yeah.
So I guess I need to look into that because Planet Terror is on my list. That's the Rodriguez version. The first movie.
That's Death Proof
is the second one.
Wait, so Death Proof is the one with Kurt Russell in the car?
It is. And then Planet Terror is
the
one
with the girl with the machine gun?
The machine gun leg. And it's the girl from Scream, Rose McGowan.
Oh, Rose McGowan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So that's on our list.
Okay.
Next up, Chiron is played by Jennifer Connelly. I mean, Jennifer has been acting for a very long time. I think the first time I ever saw her would probably been in Dario Argento's Phenomena with Donald Pleasance. She was a child. In that.
Wow.
And then after that, she did Labyrinth and she was kind of a kid in that as well.
That's where I remember from. That's when I first heard about, I think, Jennifer Connelly was Labyrinth.
Yeah. But she's been around forever. She's in Top Gun, Maverick, all that crap.
She's in Rocketeer, a movie that should be on our list because it's really good too.
I think it is on the list. I've never seen it.
Beautiful Mind. She did Beautiful Mind.
She sure did.
And in this one, I mean, that second scene with her, I mean, third scene with her, she's in the lingerie in his room. I was going, damn, Jennifer, looking good.
Yeah, she's got to be close to 50, I would think.
Yeah, doesn't look it. Looks nice. Looks good.
And then you mentioned Mahershala Ali, who we've already gone over his resume. He's just fantastic.
Golly. And going to play Blade and just watching him do a couple of these scenes, you know, with that really crisp costume on and the way he so stands so erect and everything. I was going, yeah, he could be Blade. Yeah. He can make a killer Blade.
I agree. And then you mentioned Ed, or you mentioned Zapan. He was played by Ed Skrein. I don't know that guy. It's either Skrein or Skrein. It's S-K-R-E-I-N.
Okay.
The only thing I see that looks familiar is that he was in Deadpool. So maybe he was a villain or something. I don't know.
Probably one of the bad guys.
Gruishka was played by Jackie Earle Haley, who I have loved ever since the Bad News Bears in the 1970s. He was kids in that movie.
I think you mentioned that when we did Watchmen. You mentioned that you saw him.
Yeah, he, of course, played Rorschach in Watchmen. He was Freddy Krueger in the reboot of Nightmare on Elm Street, which is not a great film. Yeah. But anyway, he's a great, I would still consider him more of a character actor than a lead person.
Oh, definitely. But, definitely character actor. Yeah.
Yeah. Hugo, who is Alita's love interest in the movie, was played by Kenan Johnson. However, four other guys were considered for this role, and I don't know any of them. All young people, of course, and I'm an old geezer. Avan Jogia or Joja, Douglas Booth, Jack Loudon, and Noah Silver. Do you know any of them?
No.
And I want to say I clicked on their names to see if I recognized movies, and I didn't, but maybe I didn't. Maybe I didn't take the time.
Yep, no, I didn't.
Maybe I'm lazy that way.
Any of them. I mean, they may have all been from other YA, so, you know, Maze Runner or Insurgent.
That's exactly what I figured they were, so I just didn't even bother. But they decided on Kenan Johnson because they were looking for someone, and this is a little suspect, more ethnically ambiguous. Why?
I don't see what that would have anything to do with this story.
I don't either. And it certainly didn't matter that Marshala was a black man playing Vector. I had no problem with that at all. Why are they looking for someone ethnically ambiguous to play her? Maybe because she was played by a Hispanic? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
His friend, who was his friend, Tanji or Tango, whomever, his friend, he's Tanji. More ethnically ambiguous. There's obviously an ethnicity there. Why not play that up?
People get too hung up on this bullshit. they do. I mean, we've talked about it before briefly. I will not go into this, but I don't care if Lord of the Rings or Interview with the Vampire cast different ethnicities in roles that are traditionally played by white people. I'm fine and cool with it. It doesn't need to be part of the modus operandi in casting, though. Pick the right person, you know, pick the person.
I totally agree with that. Yeah. I mean, I would say that I support my soapbox of if it is a classic character, I sometimes have issues. Okay. Like if they said, you know, Mahershala Ali is going to be the new James Bond, I would say, why? Why wouldn't you just make him a great new super spy?
Yeah.
You know, rather than James Bond or Sherlock Holmes. Or, you know, something like that. So I do have my archetypes that I tend to say, wait, I think their ethnic centricity should remain.
Well, what you're saying is what it is an archetype. It is like not a hobbit in Lord of the Rings. You're talking about a character that was established in the 50s that's been around for a very long time. It's like casting. You can't cast Scarlett O'Hara as a black woman. You can't.
Right. I, in my opinion, but, you know, I've been somewhat proven wrong because of the popularity of Hamilton, you know, but I'm like, and I don't want to say it's a gimmick. I don't want to get everybody pissed off at me for saying that, but no,
David and I are not racist for anyone out there.
No, not at all. And I think, you know, Hamilton is a monumental force and extremely great with what he did with that. But people have suddenly jumped on it saying, now we need to do that with everything. And we need to go back and make the seven dwarves ethnically, you know, diverse.
Right.
And it's like, really? Do you need to? Really?
No.
Why don't you come up with a new story?
Yeah, a new story is fine. And Scarlett O'Hara was probably a bad example. That's a movie that's never going to be remade, I have a feeling, because of the subject matter. But like, for instance...
But to your point, that person at that time in that historic environment would not be African American.
But all right, like I had no problem with them casting an African American guy as Louis in Interview with the Vampire. If they did it with Lestat, it would probably have rankled me a little bit because I'm so used to his description as being porcelain skinned and blonde hair. And I'm like, I would probably have more of an issue with it that way. So, and that is an iconic character. Like you said, James Bond, Scarlett O'Hara, any of the, I used to have a list of my most favorite iconic characters in Lestat, and Scarlett O'Hara were two of them, but anyway.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, digression that, over.
Digression over. Thank you guys for being indulgent listening to us.
And then I have several incidental people in the background that I don't know. However, I would be remiss to mention, not to mention that McTeague, the cowboy cyborg with the dogs, is played by Jeff Fahey.
Yeah.
From the 80s. He was like Mr. B actor of the 80s. I was like, where did they find him?
Where did it, Casting Central, where did he come from? Because I think I remember him, I saw him in the credits. He was in Tombstone, wasn't he?
He might have been.
He was like one of the, not the Earps. He was, I think he's one of the clans or something.
I always think of him as like, even when I go into his IMDb, I would have to crank it back because the original, but it was like Charles Band. Remember Charles Band?
Oh, yeah.
That did all those movies in the 80s, like Robo Jocks and stupid shit like that. Jeff Fahey was in those kind of movies in the 80s. Yep.
He was Lawnmower Man, you know, or in Lawnmower Man.
You know what? He was in that. You're right.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
He's great. Anyway, and then that's really all I have on casting. I do have a little bit on awards.
Sure.
This actually won a slew of small circuit awards, slew of them, and so many that I'm not listing them. However, our friends over at the Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films nominated it for a Saturn Award for Best Science Fiction Film.
Nice.
It did not win, and it is not on the 1001 Movies You Must See Before You Die. I'm going to have to go back and look at our list this season. I don't think we've had one yet that's been up there.
That's weird.
Yeah,
that is weird. We're taking an off season. what about Keys? Do you want to jump to Keys?
Yeah, that's fine.
Well,
Ready Player One.
My first three are anime in general, just anime. I think this is a great adaptation of anime and a great anime quote story and structure and characterizations and all of that. And you would not be able to, of course, to have this movie had anime and mangas not existed the way they are. I also have Ghost in the Shell, which is another anime that is adapted, which I have a love. I'm kind of like you. I have a love-hate relationship with it. I want to like it more than it really is or deserves, mostly because it's Scarlett Johansson in like a full body suit for most of the movie. So I kind of like that. But I also, it has a pretty cool story element at the beginning and then falls apart near the end, kind of like this one. I had, once it got into the industrial stuff, Robot Wars. Do you remember that movie with the giant mech warriors kind of fighting each other?
Sounds familiar.
That's what this kind of reminds me of once I get into Motorball is, you know, although Rodriguez is so much better than like Michael Bay or any of the Transformer directors because we can actually tell what's happening in the action. It's not just a bunch of CGI mechs hitting each other and falling down and blowing up and everything else. I find that very disturbing in the Transformer movies. So
the Transformers.
Well, no, they're bad examples of bad.
I mean, as far as a key.
I don't think they influenced this movie. I think they could learn from this movie.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And do better. Yeah.
And they're originally Japanese too, right?
Transformers?
Yeah.
The toy and the cartoon were Japanese, but the movies were Michael Bay.
Made movies. Yeah. With that dick, I can't think of his name. That
Michael
kid.
Bay.
No.
Oh no, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf. Yeah, the one that he's always on everyone's shit list.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a key. I think this works, but it's been a long time since I've seen it. This movie reminds me of Pinocchio.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah.
That's excellent, Tim.
I couldn't remember. Did Geppetto have a boy that he lost and then he made Pinocchio in
image? Think so.
I can't remember, but that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. Yeah. He should have if he didn't.
Yeah.
Well, let's remake it.
And this is very similar where he's making a little girl or a young woman. And I don't know. It just felt very Pinocchio to me.
Oh, yeah. That's a great one. That's excellent. I've got Rollerball, of course, the movie.
Okay, yeah.
Rollerball, because, I mean, even down to, we're going to shoot the big ball out of cannon. You have to catch it and then put it in a little magnetic tube. I mean, that's all straight Rollerball.
Well, from IMDb, I lifted a key from them that said that the game is almost identical to Rollerball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've got... you said Ready Player One already. Mm-hmm. I will add Fifth Element. There's some Fifth Element feel to this. Some of the world building is kind of like Fifth Element and feels like it. The fact that we're introduced to the girl first and then, but she actually becomes the hero kind of through it. We don't have a Corbin Dallas kind of character in this.
Not at all.
But I think eventually in the manga, maybe, Hugo turns out to be that. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't read the mangas. But,
well, Hugo dies.
in this movie, yeah.
I've got that Gruiska, when he's new and improved with his extending fingers,
yeah,
is like Dr. Octopus from Spider-Man.
Very much. That's a good one. Yes. Very good. I've got Blade Runner and Metropolis, just again from the world building, the way the city is.
What is Metropolis? Is that a game?
No, Metropolis, the movie.
You're talking about Blade Runner and Metropolis.
Yes.
Okay. I thought you were saying Blade Runner and Metropolis.
No,
I was like, what is that?
Blade Runner and Metropolis. Blade Runner, just in the fact they even have a rain sequence in this, when they're all in the rain at night, right, in the alleys and the streets. And then the way Metropolis, showed the haves and the have nots, but it showed it better than this one movie did. But that feeling that the upper echelon live higher than the lower people who live down underneath it and have to support it. And then they just dump garbage on them kind of thing. That was a very, big key to me.
I have a key and I don't know the name of it, but is that movie that Matt Damon did with like Jodie Foster where there were
Elysium?
Yes. Isn't that the same concept?
Same thing.
Where the upper class live high and the lower class live low.
And it's actually, he's a cyborg in it, or gets implants. He gets biomechanical implants in it.
Yeah, I think it's pronounced Elysium. And it's from an old poem, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
An English literature thing. I have another one you're going to love, if you haven't thought of it already, is Black Widow. I mean, she is Black Widow. She even lands like Black Widow with her leg out and her hand up in the air.
That's true. Her sister makes fun of her for doing it. That kind of superhero landing. Superhero landing.
As soon as she landed that way first, I was like, oh my God, it's the exact same pose.
Yeah. That's true. I've got, you said Wally, which is a good one. I had said Davier Stood Still, which is a good one. I've got Terminator, just because of his name. His name is Dyson Edo. And the Dyson Corporation is the big bad in all the Terminator movies.
Is that the first Terminator? I guess the franchise, maybe.
Yeah, franchise in general, but definitely the first one, because Dyson is, in Terminator 2, Dyson is the guy, the scientist that ends up blowing himself up. That's Dyson. Miles Dyson, I think, is his name. But the Christoph Waltz character's name is Dyson Edo,
fully intentional.
Which I'm sure is with intentional. Cameron. Yeah. Oh yeah. And of course, William Gibson. I think none of this would have been possible. And even the manga, probably predates the manga, of William Gibson's kind of neuromancer view of science fiction and the projection of the world being a techno meets biologic kind of thing, cyborgs and robots and mechs and all that.
Right. So. I have one when I think it's the first time. Yeah, it's the first time that Hugo dies. it's very West Side Story.
Oh yeah.
Where she's rushing to be with him and he's there trying to stop what's going on. It's all Tony and Maria again. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He even Zapan even stabs past her to stab into him.
Yeah, he's Tybalt from Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, very Romeo and Juliet, West Side Story.
Riff, I mean, not Riff, Bernardo, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Chino, how many bullets in this gun, Chino? That's a great one, Tim. That's really good. And I've got, my last one I've got is Altered Carbon, that series that was on, I think, Netflix. It might have been a Hulu series.
I love the star in that. I can't think of his name.
He's really good, and I'm upset that the second season was so bad compared to the first. The first was brilliant, but that again, it feels like it could have been in exactly the same world. You've got all the elites who live way up in the clouds, and everybody else is down on the ground, and we all fight for what they call skins, which are exterior bodies that we can put our consciousness in. Whereas in this one, as long as your head seems good, you can just, they'll rebuild anything. So, because I think that at one point, Dr. Ito says that, thank God there was no brain damage to when he's reviving Hugo.
So evidently, the guy, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, the guy I was thinking of that's in Altered Carbon is not really the star. He's the... he's in it though. His name is James Purefoy, and he played Hap in Hap and Leonard, which is another series I really liked because it's Joe Lansdale. But anyway, James Purefoy is the guy I was thinking of.
Yeah, it's a great first season is excellent of that. Yep, that was my last key.
Was it? I have some stuff I lifted from IMDb.
Yeah.
Actually, you may have mentioned this already. I don't think you said the name. It says it's based on the 9-volume manga called Gundam. Is that what it is? Gundam.
G-U-N-D-A-M.
D-A-M. All right. I had a typo because mine just said G-U-N and M. So maybe it is.
Well, that's another Gundam manga, but this actually really is a manga called Battle Angel Alita.
Okay.
But Gundam is a very popular manga.
Well, Gundam was the Japanese name. When it was released in America, they changed it to Battle Angel Alita. It's what this note is that I'm reading.
Okay.
And it's written by that Kishiro person I mentioned earlier.
Well, then that makes sense.
And it ran from 90 to 95. It was followed by a 19-volume sequel called Battle Angel Alita Last Order, which ran from 2000 to 2014, and later by Gundam Mars Chronicle, which began in 2014. So this thing's been going for a long time.
Yeah.
And then there's a part where Vector states he'd rather rule in hell than serve in heaven. That's paraphrasing John Milton. It's Paradise Lost.
So, of course.
Ancient, not ancient, but classic literature. And then lastly, Alita takes Hugo into a church for a sanctuary is a nod to The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was totally wrong. The the Japanese version of this is called Gundam, G-U-N-N-M.
That's what I thought, but I was missing an A in there. It was G-U-N-N-M, and I was like.
That's correct.
Oh, it is correct.
Yep. That's Gundam. Correct.
Okay.
Gundam.
So I had it.
And
right,
yes, you are correct. That is the Japanese version of Battle Angel Alita. Yeah.
Okay. So I wasn't mispronouncing it. It's just a weird spelling. And then the only other thing I have is Alita translates in Spanish to Little Wing. And that's one of my favorite Jimi Hendrix songs.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's definitely a good one. Yeah, I mean, I'm glad we watched it. I enjoyed it. Again, I like this better. I'm like you. I like this better than I did Ready Player One, and enjoyed the film better. And it falls into some, you know, fun science fiction that we haven't done before. We haven't done anime before, I don't think.
So, no, never.
Yeah.
So that's a different different genre, subgenre, I guess you would say.
A subgenre, as we say. Mm-hmm.
Well, we would like to thank all you folks out there for listening to us. We had kind of a double week, 2 weeks of sci-fi. We will be back in horror land, I assure you, next week. And for those of you that are listening to us on the airwaves, we appreciate it. We would really love it if you would leave us a review or a star rating. However, if you are watching us on YouTube, you could always just reach down there and press that subscribe button. That would help us tremendously, or just let us know or hear from you. Say something in the comments. Hearing from you makes this more conversational, and David and I don't feel like we're just talking to each other on screens.
Right. Please do let us know. Yes. Say you guys suck, or no, we love you, or give your opinion. We'd love to hear what you guys think too.
Yeah. And if this is not enough, as if there's ever enough, you could always hop over to Patreon and support us there. We have some shows there that are completely free, that are like bonus episodes, as well as some subscription-based content on Star Trek and the X-Files. Man, I say that a lot. I enjoyed it, David, and I will look forward to seeing you again next week.
Yes. Let's go have some candy.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.